In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm always amazed, brothers and sisters, when you read the Lord's answers to questions, or when a person makes a statement and he replies to it. His response is always much deeper than the question. Gives us much more information. It is about the reality behind the question, or behind the statement. The need of the person. The ignorance of the person. The sin of the person that was not stated explicitly in the question, but that the Lord knew about. You just read the Scripture and see. Every single time the Lord replies to something, it is deeper than the thing that He is replying to. And so, in this case, perhaps the arguably the best example of the Lord answering a question with so much more than the question asked. The parable of the Good Samaritan, which says so much to us. It is a statement of how the Lord saved us by the example of what the Good Samaritan did and the fact that the men could not help, the priest and the Levite, they were not able to help. So it is that. But it is also an example of how we should be, how we should live, how we should think, how we should treat people. But it is also an example of who is our neighbor. The Lord explains who is our neighbor in a way that is very provocative, very unique. Perhaps some would say, our neighbor is all people. God made all men. All men are brothers, so all men are our neighbor. That is factually correct. But how much more powerful it is when the Lord expresses it through this parable. And the reason He expressed it as such is because the man who asked the questions, the two questions, had abysmal ignorance about the purpose of his life, about what God had done for him. That's the reason why he asked these questions, because he did not understand. The first question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Would be better phrased as, what shall I become? How shall I become what I should be become? What I should become? Not what should I do? Who should I be? What we become is what will help us to inherit eternal life. Not the things we do, not occasional things we do. The person we become, of course, the person that we become does things that are according to the law, according to righteousness, according to justice. But it's not the things we do. It's who we are that God has come to change. This man fundamentally did not understand this. He thought of the commandments. And even the great commandment of loving the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second, which is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. He got that question right when the Lord asked him. Most people would not have understood it. And not have even understood that question or given that answer. Because if you're careful about knowing where the Scriptures are there, it's actually two pieces of Scripture that are separated from each other for very many lines. Yet he understood the essence of the law. But he didn't understand how to carry out the law. Because then he asked a question that we should never ask. You should never need to ask this question. Who is my neighbor? This question is not answered by a fact. By saying your neighbor is all men. No. This question is answered by us inculcating in ourselves what our Lord has done for us. Then we will know who our neighbor is. Because then we will know that the Lord has done for us and for all men what is needful for human nature. And then no one is really that much different from the other person. We all are fallen human nature in need of a Savior, in need of someone to come to take care of us when we are by the road and we are left half dead, and someone who can bind our wounds and can heal us. Only the Lord can do this. We're all in the same situation. We're all in the same condition. and to know that the Lord has done for us what is needful for our nature should inculcate in us among the greatest of those virtues, of the virtues would be gratitude. Gratitude for what the Lord has done. A man who is thankful to the Lord that He has saved him out of his condition doesn't need to ask, who is my neighbor? He knows this already. He knows that everyone is his neighbor because God loves everyone. Not because it's something you can recite as a fact, but because it's something you feel in your heart. That's why the Lord answered the question in this way. So that we would feel in our hearts what He has done for us. I've told you many times before, you need to know two things to save your soul. One is who you are, what kind of person you are, what your condition is. And the other one is who God is. The man who does not know himself, he will not reach out to God. Because he won't feel the great need that he has. Everyone has the need. But many are unaware of it. And a man who's unaware of his needs does not reach out for that which he needs. It is as if a man is starving and not hungry. That is the condition of the person who does not know himself, does not know his weaknesses, does not know the things that are wrong with him, does not know that there is darkness in his heart. Get that so it's off in the kitchen, all that noise. So a man must know himself. And in knowing yourself, then you can know what God has done for you. This parable, beautiful. So much theological precision in it about what the incarnation means for us. Many times I've spoken about that. But all of that is of no effect whatsoever if it is not applied in your life. If you don't burn with love for others as the Lord does. If you don't recognize in others the same weaknesses that are in yourself. Perhaps some people do worse than you, some better than you. But we're all in the same condition. We all need someone to take care of us, to bind our wounds. Only the Lord can do it. And if we understand this, then the way we live will be like Him. The question is not, what shall I do? The question is, what shall I become? The answer is, we will become like the Lord so that we can see Him. And when He looks at us, He will recognize us because He will see His image carefully polished and burnished within us. That only comes about through labor. That comes about through effort. Not through fulfilling one or two things from being everything. Christianity is not really about following the commandments. It is about becoming the commandments. It is about becoming holy. Of course, in becoming holy, we follow the commandments. Absolutely. But that is not the point of our life. The point of our life is to become holy and to know God. The one who becomes holy, he does righteous things. Not because he thinks that there's something that will gain him something, but because it's in his heart. The Lord is speaking from the heart here. So we should listen from the heart. Look inside yourself and see what kind of person you are. See what your needs are. See the fact that you live in such a temporary way, even though you're eternal. You know, you are eternal. You were born for eternity, not for temporary things. And yet, moment by moment, how much of the time do we live in completely a temporary way? With things that don't matter the moment they're accomplished. With things that are so unimportant or even sinful. Do you feel that weight in your soul? Do you feel that darkness? You must if you are a Christian. Because God came to root out that darkness. The temporariness. The changing of our nature from good to bad and back to good again and then back to bad and then to things that may matter and things that don't. Everything should always matter. Everything the Lord did mattered. Nothing, nothing, not one thing the Lord did in this life as a man was temporary. Everything was eternal. Everything He said, everything He did, everything He planned, everything He thought and prayed was eternal. Was about setting His face to Jerusalem. Are we like that? No. But we should be. And we should feel within ourselves that terrible lack because we're not like that. We were built for eternity. We were built for greatness. But we don't live it a great way. And yet the Lord tells us through this parable that we can become great. Because we are that man, of course, by the road, left half dead. Not all the way dead, half dead. Because our sins, our passions cannot kill us if we respond to the Lord. And of course, He is that good Samaritan. And He is the one who heals. And then He is the one who brings us to the inn, the church, for us to be cared for. And He will come again and will reward. All those things are present in the parable. But the most important thing that is present is feel the human condition. And feel what the Lord has done for the human condition. And then you know who your neighbor is. And you know what to do. No one needs to tell you. There is no law, no commandment, no pronouncement, no scripture, no sermon that needs to tell you what to do if you feel your condition and what the Lord has done for you. It's inherent in you. That is true goodness. When a man acts according to what is in his heart, knowing what the Lord has done for him. That is what we aspire to, brothers and sisters. We can start by doing good because it is the right thing to do, even if sometimes we don't want to do good. We can start by being kind to those we don't want to be kind to. We can start by stifling what we are about to say about someone because we know it's the wrong thing to say. But that is just the beginning. That is just infancy in the Christian life. Perfection in the Christian life is to have God abiding in the heart. And He cannot abide, He will not abide in our heart unless our heart is completely open to Him. And we are only open to Him if we know ourselves and we know Him. And this, the parable speaks about, knowing ourselves and knowing Him. And if we know ourselves and we know Him, no one need tell us who our neighbor is. No one need tell us who to be good to. No one need tell us how to follow the commandments or even which are the commandments. We will know because God is in our heart. Amen.